aunque me esté comiendo el mundo, no se valora ni un segundo. Estoy en un buen momento, solo era cuestión de tiempo. Voy a salir a la calle a gritar lo que siento a los cuatro vientos. Estoy en un buen momento, reconstruida por dentro. Y esa zorra que tanto temía se fue en poder. Ahora es una zorra de postal, a la que ya no le va mal, a la que todo le da igual. La vida me sigue total. Soy una zorra de postal. Yo soy una mujer real. Y si me pongo visceral, de todo pasaría a chacal. Que ahora has metido en un zarzal. Soy una zorra de postal. Estoy en un buen momento, solo era cuestión de tiempo. Voy a salir a la calle a gritar lo que siento a los cuatro vientos. Estoy en un buen momento, reconstruida por dentro. Y esa zorra que tanto temía se fue empoderando y ahora es una zorra de pastel.
And welcome back to Canopy, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And this week we are talking about Eurovision, quite the height of queer culture. We're going to be picking up on some of the stories there. But starting off with a bit of a strong rebuke by the Dutch broadcaster Avro Tros, who's taken significant umbrage with a pretty serious event that happened. And now, what they're umbrage taking is with is not the instigating event, but rather the European Broadcast Union's response to it. Now, Sebastian, you and I were talking about this yesterday, and there was gossip and rumor afoot. Allegedly, the Dutch entrant had potentially taken a swing at one of the judges for the song contest. That's the entrant Klein with their song Europapa. Now, Europapa was a bookies favorite and a fan favorite to be one of the contenders to win. Turns out that may not be the case at all. The European Broadcast Union has issued a statement, which I'll read you. It's their statement on the Dutch participation in the song contest. It was released about noon prior to the rollout of the song contest. It says, quote, "The Dutch artist Joost Klein will not be competing in the grand final of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Swedish police have investigated a complaint made by a female member of the production crew after an incident following his performance in Thursday night's semi-final. While the legal process takes its course, it would not be appropriate for him to continue in the contest. We would like to make it clear that, contrary to some media reports and social media speculation, this incident did not involve any other performer or delegation member. We maintain a zero policy towards inappropriate behavior at our event and are committed to providing a safe and secure working environment for all staff at the contest. In light of this, Joost Klein's behavior towards a team member is deemed in breach of contest rules. The grand finale of the 68th Eurovision Song Contest will now proceed with 25 participating songs."
And he was removed hours before they began.
Yeah, it was really not long at all. Now, what seems to have happened, although the reporting is still a little bit to and fro here.
Speculative, we'll say. But it was definitely he tried to get a camera technician's number, whether that's through pushing or striking or grabbing. The wording is very vague on it. People aren't being very forthright on it. And as for why he was trying to get the camera away from it, there's also a lot of rumors and speculation around that. The main thing seems to be that they were asking him questions that he did not think was appropriate to ask, and he did not want to answer, and he just reacted disproportionately. But if somebody's asking you something you don't want to answer, that's no reason to take a swing at them.
Well, apparently it, maybe so, but in the run-up to the competition, exactly when and when not they are being recorded was set out in advance. The camera operator may well and ought to have known that in between the takes, when they have to get in and out of the green room very quickly, is not when you want to be stood right in front of them with. Apparently, the Dutch entrant had asked multiple times to get through, and was ignored. The indicated that he did not want to be wanted to be filmed, according to the Dutch broadcaster, and that was not respected. Now, the Dutch broadcaster contacted the European Broadcasting Union for multiple options for what to do to address it, but the EBU decided to disqualify Joost Klein anyway. Great reporting by the PinkNews.co.uk and many others on this. But yeah, it's pretty heavy-handed. Dutch broadcaster has called it disproportionate, and it's probably the most severe consequence that the EBU has rolled out in decades. So yeah, should you get up and personal with camera operators? Absolutely not. But also, I think everyone in the production needs to be respectful of agreements that are made in advance. So
This is definitely going to go to court, though, because the thing about Eurovision, a lot of people ask, why do Turkey, Israel, and Australia show up at Eurovision? And the simple answer is they buy their way into it. in the way that literally every country that goes there buys their way into it. Whatever your national broadcaster is, so in Canada's case, we would have the CBC, they just put money in that, and that helps fund the event happening. And that's basically it. Just any country with a national broadcaster that's willing to pay into it. Historically, it was distinctly European. But, I mean, the fact that Australia and... I mean, Turkey's kind of a weird case, because Turkey, parts of Turkey are European, and parts of Turkey are considered Middle Eastern, and parts of Turkey are considered like an extension of North Africa, but that's a completely different issue. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just you got the money and you pay your way into it. Brazil could do it one day for all we know. Who knows? Who knows? If they see it as being worth the penny, then yeah. But because there is millions of dollars on the table, the fact that he was disqualified at the last minute is going to cause a stir. With the Dutch broadcaster, even if they're like, yes, you have a zero tolerance policy with physicality, you know, this is not the answer considering what's on the table, maybe some kind of reprimanding after, I don't know, whatever. We'll find out over the next few weeks.
Exactly. All right. We're going to be jumping now to the next couple of songs. This is going to be Finland with Windows 99 Man, Windows 95 Man. Absolutely hilarious production by Finland. And then followed by Baby Lasagna from Croatia. And we will be back just
Windows 95 Man, and I only live by one rule, and the rule is...
Gonna miss my bed. Most of all, I'ma miss the dance. So come on, y'all, let us pray. the noise. Wanna become one of them city boys. They're all so pretty and so advanced. Maybe they also know where to dance.
Welcome back to Cancria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we are talking about all things Eurovision. Now, just before the break, the musical break, with Finland and Croatia. Croatia, by the way, coming in second.
A close second.
Very close second. Yeah.
And earlier when I said, you know, the main thing about Eurovision is disappointment, and you always think with the winner, they're a fine song, but why did they win? I would have been very happy if Croatia won. They did a very good presentation, very good song, very good perform, very good stage presence. Yeah.
This has been quite a blighted Eurovision Song Contest, starting off with multiple protests, with thousands of people in Malmo, Sweden, protesting the Eurovision Song Contest for the inclusion of the Israeli delegation. We are also going to, of course, acknowledge that Israel was in that. They are essentially accusing Israel of quashing to a degree, or just trying to hide the devastating impact of their actions in Palestine behind participation in this festival. Now, they wrote a letter to a number of people, hundreds and hundreds of organizations, sent an open letter to Olli Alexander, the frontman of Years and Years and Britain's entrant into Eurovision, as well as many others. The letter says a number of things. Quote, we write to you as fellow queers, artists and fans who are deeply distressed about your continued inclusion of Israel in the Eurovision Song Contest in the current context of its ongoing genocidal assault on Palestinians in Gaza and attacks on Palestinians across the homeland. I'm quoting directly here from an open letter to Olli Alexander. It goes on to say, quote, as we know you are aware, we are now in the sixth month of Israel's genocidal campaign against the 2.3 million Palestinians living in Gaza, who are subject to intense and relentless attacks. More than 31,000 Palestinians have been killed and over a million have been displaced. According to Oxfam and major international human rights organizations, Israel is using starvation as a weapon against Palestinians in Gaza, with its siege causing acute shortages of food, water, and essential medicines. This isn't the first time it's come up already in the run-up to Eurovision. The Israeli entry, in fact, had to rewrite their song.
Yes.
Or breaking the rules around not being political in the music that is in the songs.
And that is actually a major thing right there, the politics of it, even though there's obviously going to be geopolitics involved in Eurovision. Famously, probably the most famous of all is that the Scandinavian countries always vote for each other. But there is a history of people sort of looking at entrants saying, this musician is an artist and does not necessarily represent the political decision-making class of the country they come from. And there's a long history of conflicts in Europe where maybe people didn't go that year for one reason or another, but they weren't banned either. So during the Spanish Revolution of the early 80s, Spain wasn't banned. During the Serbo-Croatian conflict of the 90s, neither Serbia nor Croatia were banned. During the Troubles, Ireland did not demand that England not be able to participate. There is this history of keeping politics at arm's length, we'll say. Not completely away, because it is Eurovision, but at arm's length to sort of try to keep some of that away. And I could see a lot of people questioning why this should be any different from any of the other historical European conflicts over the past 60 years.
Ollie Alexander replied to it.
Okay.
Many others. Ollie Alexander released a statement with a number of other entrants. It reads, quote, "We want to begin by acknowledging the privilege of taking position. In light of the current situation in the occupied Palestinian territories, and particularly in Gaza and in Israel, we do not feel comfortable being silent. It is important to stand in solidarity with the oppressed and communicate our heartfelt wish for peace, an immediate and lasting ceasefire, and the safe return of all hostages. Ooh. We stand united against all forms of hate, including anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. We firmly believe in the unifying power of music, enabling people to transcend differences and foster meaningful conversations and connections. We feel that it is our duty to create and uphold this space with a strong hope that it will inspire greater compassion and empathy." That was co-signed with Bambi Thug of Ireland, as well as Norway, Portugal, San Marino, Chechnya, the UK, Denmark, Lithuania, and Finland. All co-signed that statement that was released by Ollie Alexander in response to the letter requesting that these artists boycott the competition. It has been really quite a heated debate. They obviously did not boycott the competition.
No.
And, you know, ironically enough, Alexander received nil points. 0 points from the world vote as a result. But, yeah, this year's Eurovision has fraught with politics and tension and drama. Unfortunately, in my opinion, not enough of it on the stage.
Oh.
I would like to have seen a bit more tension and drama in the production.
A little bit more hair pulling?
No. I'm talking about stage design, presence, dramatic costumes, you know. I was just a bit disappointed in this year's Eurovision. It was not a good vintage.
Yeah, years ago, I don't remember what year it was. Bulgaria, I think it was, sang a song about one of the major wars that happened against Bulgaria, where Bulgaria was sort of blindsided, like, well, I guess we're going to war now. And Russia was like on stage right after them. But this was talking about 40, 50 years ago. I don't remember what the conflict was, but it was very transparently like, this war that happened in living memory has deeply affected our country. But because it wasn't current events, they could kind of get away with it. They bypassed the try to keep any political rules. But it was also transparently in reference basically to Ukraine at the time. Sort of an it's happening again kind of a situation. So there are ways of doing it without doing it. And not necessarily that I think everyone should engage in trickery. Because you do need that standard, you know, five middle-aged men just having a good time act as well. But it is kind of interesting that there was so little politics this year. It felt weird because there's always that one band when they do a song and you're like, this feels ended. But having none of that also feels bizarre because then it feels like the committee was heavy handed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll be keeping an eye on it. Also, it's been really quite a fraught year. One thing did happen, and that is that a winner was chosen by both a combination of a jury vote and the public vote. And that winner was Switzerland's Nemo. Nemo is a non-binary, I believe. It goes by, I believe, they, then. I'm just pulling it up here to double check. But what did you think of Nemo's entry?
It was fine.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure you want more than that, but it was, yeah, that was basically it. There was other acts I would have liked. I thought there was it was fine. It was good. It was a great song for a club. It just, I don't know, for Eurovision, there's other acts that I would have rather see win. The fact that this song did win, I don't think is a travesty either. I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Well, that sounds like Eurovision.
That's
I'm not angry.
Eurovision.
I'm just disappointed. That pretty much sums it up. But we have run out of time. Next week, we will be pivoting back to Canada and covering how the various rallies and action unfolded. But before then, we will be playing out with the song that won the day. In Eurovision, and that is the song by Nemo. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
Welcome to the show. Let everybody know I'm done playing the game. I'll break out of the chains. You better buckle up. I'll pour another cup. This is my poem, so drink it up, my friend. Tell about life, but the good and the bad, better hold on tight. Who decides what's wrong, what's right? Everything is balance, everything's light. I got so much on my mind, and I've been awake all night. I'm so pumped, I'm so psyched, it's bigger than me, I'm getting so hyped. Like, let me taste the lows and highs. Between the O's and ones, that's where I found my kingdom come. My heart beats like a somewhere between the O's and ones. That's where I found my kingdom come. My heart beats like a drum.
Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.